I'd never read The Virgin and the Gypsy before I prepared it. I've read Sons and Lovers, and I'd read The Rainbow and I think Lady Chatterley's Lover, so the famous ones. But this I had never come across before. So much passion and beautiful descriptive passages and wonderful insight into the exact character of those people, so they're so beautifully drawn in such a short time. When I first read it, I found myself responding particularly to the young girls, to the setup in the house. It's just something that if you grow up in a certain milieu, perhaps if you've been in especially a very middle-class upbringing, as I have, the very restrained and orderly and decent upbringing, that I understood that champing at the bit and the boredom as well of coming back to live with one's parents and grandparents, and also because it was funny and beautifully drawn in that way, that I responded very well to that, and I found that very easy to get into. Also, I loved the description of the landscape, and it's so beautifully drawn, the picture of the village and exactly how the house is standing, in what area, and the way that the trees grow behind the house, and that is so beautifully drawn. I found that the easiest part to get into. But really, the whole thing sweeps you along. It's such a strong story. And the incredible bond between her and the gypsy, and the way you see it slowly forming, and it gets stronger and stronger throughout. So you get quite swept along in it, as indeed, at the very end, you are literally swept through the house. The description of the storm, of the water, like a sea, just going through the house, sweeping her mentally and physically and emotionally with it, is just amazing, wonderful. And one couldn't not get wholly into it at this stage. It's just amazing. I felt very much that it seemed to be dealing with broader themes, that it wasn't just sticking with the realistic or with the small. By that I mean when one was looking at, say, Sons and Lovers, which is about analysing the relationships between the three main characters, and although they're big emotions, these are very minutely observed. This also happens in this, but he's also broadening it out to make it almost mythical in the way, in the biblical, mythical feeling of the waters coming through the village. And it has many other resonances apart from just the story itself. And also I found much of the humour in it quite unexpected and very enjoyable and a release. Otherwise it would, I think, be a very sad, quite depressing story, actually. Because it's so beautifully, naturalistically written, the awful, closed feeling in the rectory, the stuffy, nasty, stale feeling in the rectory, it would drive you mad reading about it if he didn't introduce really very amusing ways of putting that forward. And also, the girls themselves, they're very realistic. One is wholly likes them and goes along with them, but at the same time, they are terribly irritating in the way that young girls can be. And I love that about it, the way you can both find them very appealing and also really quite funnily annoying. So that helps bring you into the whole thing. The whole family itself is not a great place to grow up at all, and you can quite understand why she, who was Cynthia, just couldn't bear it. You have a lot of sympathy, I think, with the grandmother, although she is awful and frightful, because a lot of the time you're seeing it from the young girl's point of view. At the same time, that's her whole life. It's everything to her. Her identity is to be the matriarch of the house. And your life was made up of small things. It had been also brought down, pared down, because she's blind and elderly and she can't move much. And it also, I think, beautifully shows the sheer boredom sometimes of being a woman in that society, where the girls could perhaps go and work, whereas if you're a mother, the idea is that you preside over everybody and teach. Aunt Sissy is an example of this. She can never express herself. She's just accepted her position as a nobody, as a slave to the mater. And despite the fact that she's really quite hideous with her endless, desperate munching of her chocolates, at the same time, you feel very, very sorry for her. And each evening is just spent waiting to go to bed and then having to sleep in the same bed as the mater. Just awful, dreadful destiny until she dies. That's her whole life. So I felt a lot of sympathy with the women. Although it was very difficult for the girls growing up with them, you wouldn't want to be with them either. You wouldn't want to be Aunt Sissy or the mater, or indeed Aunt Nell, really, who's divorced, or she's a widow at the age of 40. Not only am I more likely to want to go back to D.H. Lawrence at this point, with a different perspective, I'm more likely to go back to read him at all. It is years since I've read him. I think I did Sons and Lovers for A-level, which is many years ago now. So consequently, because of that, I hadn't read any of him for many years, as one tends to abandon text that you study. This makes me want to go back and read them with much... There's so much more in it. I think having read it out loud as well is something when you read in your head... Quite often you can read too fast and skip over things, and you miss the beauty of the language and the beautiful expression of emotion and of what's going on in people's heads. And it makes me want to go back, and hopefully I would appreciate what there's so much more in the previous novels that I've read that I would like to get out of them and revisit them with extra knowledge and understanding and time.